This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let Ace show you how. Ace on the house.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The choice being on. Man, they get it on, man. Welcome to Ace on the House. Man, I'm Corolla Stromer over there.
I can't help it.
I am knee-deep in home everything, man.
That's because you are that guy.
I am that guy, although I had a sad realization last night.
Yeah.
This house I'm living in.
You mean sad realization 6 inches measured from the top with a straight-edge ruler?
Oh, my friend, how many times have I told you, center of the anus to just pass the tip?
Yeah, that's right.
Gary does the...
Gary's well, a 32, off, you 32
with,
incher.
You do it with yarn, obviously. Yeah.
Stretchy yarn.
No, but then you put the yarn down on the yardstick.
Yeah, and pull more.
No.
Oh, sorry.
You don't, go you ahead. Can't... First off, you can't moisten it, and you can't pull on it.
So don't do it in the rest facility where it's moist.
I'm saying be intellectually honest. Just lay the yarn down next to the yardstick.
Right.
Or sometimes you got to go past the yardstick, depending on how it works out, because I'll use a tape and just lock it off and lay it on the ground.
That's
because
right.
Gary says... And it's my fault because...
Yeah. I'm a purist. This is from Loveline.
It's center of the anus.
Yes.
Once around the balls,
right?
But just once,
yeah,
and then just past the tip. But I've really been thinking about that.
So, what is that measurement? Like a yard?
Well, look, I'd have to go pull some files. But what I'm saying is Gary, I don't think it's intellectually honest to go once around the balls anymore.
No.
I don't feel like that.
You know what? You're where I got it from, so if you're revising, that's fine with me.
Well, because I am. I've evolved on the issue.
Some people have thicker scrotal skin.
What Obama did with gay marriage and Hillary Clinton did with gay marriage is what I did with once around the balls. Like, I've evolved on the subject.
That's correct.
I've rethought it.
So where
and
are
I've
you
changed
now?
My mind.
Bypassing the wrap?
Center of the anus.
Center of the anus.
Just past the tip. Don't get greedy.
Yeah.
We're looking for accuracy.
That's correct. That's fair. So what is that distance? Do we know?
I gotta pull files.
Yeah,
I gotta pull files. But again,
how do you determine
like
the
many
exact,
politicians? Yeah. If you ever see some of these politicians who are talking about immoral walls, and you see them 10 years ago, they're talking about building walls.
That's right.
So Chuck Schumer, you know how it is. You turn 61, 62, and then you evolve.
You sure do.
And now you're 72, and you have a totally different opinion on the same subject.
Very good point.
Because you've evolved.
Right.
And I have evolved.
And you are now...
I've redetermined the whole once around the balls thing.
But I want to know how you've determined the center of your anus. Is there something that has to go... Do you hold the yarn... In the center of your anus, or is there an implement that, like a compass?
You're suggesting I put a centering tool?
Like, yes, I am.
Let's see. There's an awl, and then there's like a center
like
punch.
Like a parking cone is what I mean.
Okay. Well, now you're getting weird. There
is
a tool.
Something that an animal could crawl into.
Let me explain something. I'll explain it to Matt and Gary as well.
Okay, thank you.
When you are hanging a door
and
you have the hinge and you've mortised out the hinge, you've carved out the space and the jamb for the hinge and you snap the hinge in.
Yeah.
Now it's time for you to sink your wood screws into the hinge.
Right.
The wood screws, because you're dealing with a wood grain door, sometimes when you put that wood screw in and you start screwing it in, it just sort of wanders off a little, one side or another.
Yeah.
It'll pull a little. And when it pulls a little, the head doesn't sit flat in the door and might pull the hinge out of the mortise a little bit, whatever. There's a tool, Gary. You can find it. I think it would be called like a hinge centering tool or centering punch or something. It's a metal thing looks like the size of a cigarette. It's tapered. You put it in the hole, has a spring-loaded pin, and you pop it with a hammer.
Yes.
And now that's a bit.
No, you're talking. There's a guide.
Come on, Garrett,
there's a guide
get your shit
that
together.
Has the, where you when you mortise out those things, where you punch in the.
Yeah.
What does this have to do with your anus?
That's where I pull the yarn from, idiot.
Oh, sorry.
There's a hole. There's a hole. That's your hinge hole. Look, okay. Now you're looking at it.
Okay.
You hold it. You put it in the center of the hole for the hinge, and then you hit the end with a hammer, and what it doesn't show, it's a self-centering punch.
Right.
The little nail pokes out and pop. Pokes it in the middle.
So that's where the string goes. But who then monitors the angle into your anus, because that could dramatically affect the length of the yarn?
Into?
Hmm? Yeah. Stromer, I don't like where your head is at with this. I was talking about innocently. I didn't even think I brought this up. But a self-centering punch, obviously, is what you would use. So
sure.
It works good. For the guys really meticulous when you're doing the hinges, you put that in the hole, pap it, it makes a little hole, and then you can drill your little exploratory hole, your little pilot hole there.
Right.
Where it has to be self-centered.
Yeah.
I'm too lazy to use one, but,
all right. But
I have in the past.
You've heard it works.
Right. So that's what we do with the anus.
All right, good.
Okay,
well,
so
thank God we came to that solution.
I'm gonna try to solve a problem on the air.
All right, let's hear it.
Gary's gonna have to go on the internet again.
Uh-oh.
And you guys tell me what you would do, okay?
Okay.
Okay. First, I wanna thank Lowe's for this half of the show / Ace and Geico at geico.com. Now, I got this new house.
Yeah.
And the new house is an amazing, big, beautiful house. And I'm doing all the painting and all the stuff. And I'm moving some walls around.
Right.
And blah, 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 blah. I've noticed that the house has can lights. And when I say can lights, as I just sort of tally them up in my head, I mean like 150 can lights.
Yeah.
Small, like 5-inch ones, small ones. I've realized...
Incandescent cans or
no, this is the problem. They're all oh shit, not LED, but the
not halogen.
Halogen.
Oh,
they're
energy sucking and expensive, I might add.
They're all halogen.
The light is beautiful though.
The light is beautiful.
It's like an art gallery. It looks fantastic, I bet.
It looks fantastic, but if you touch one, you'll burn your finger.
And the oil messes up the bulb and they burn out with the finger oil on them.
Well, now, strike two.
Yeah.
So these halogen bulbs, they kick off tons of heat.
Yes.
And, I mean, and then obviously heat means energy.
Correct.
So now I have 150 of these cans, and they're all halogen, and they're all throwing heat off, and they're all hot, and they burn out real easy, and you have to replace them all the time. And I want LED.
I don't blame you.
But is there a retrofit?
Yes.
From LED to halogen, or do I have to do the whole fucking can?
No, you can do the I think there's an insert that goes into the existing can that you can then, you know, that's like an adapter of
because
the
prong. Halogen is just two prongs.
Correct.
Two little thin wiry prongs.
I think that
kind of like that anal probe thing.
Thank you.
Why
for bringing
do we have
it back
to talk
around.
About that?
Gary, can you look that up? Because I think there is an adapter that goes from halogen to LED that you know just plugs into that.
That would be a life changer.
I think
for me.
If not, you're going to have to just blow out the guts of the can.
Yeah, well, I pray to Christ you didn't just invent something that I wanted really bad.
Well, then let's do it again.
It appears to exist. So halogen is very, the halogen are very old school, and there was a lot of fire started with those things, and they run hot, and anything that runs hot just sucks a ton of energy.
But if you go to a Zales, you know, or Tiffany's, and you look at the jewelry, those are usually halogen bulbs.
I don't know what those words are.
It's those commercials that make you feel like you've completely screwed up your relationship.
Oh.
Where it's like a guy in a cable knit sweater laughing.
Or that guy.
You know, and he goes up to the...
he's on the bed and, crying with his girl, like, my daddy died. Now we're both going to jump off a dock together into a lake and laugh and then laugh.
I won't be able to get a boner, but we'll both sit in a bathtub and look at the sunset years because of this new drug.
That commercial, there was a like Zales commercial that it was weird. It bugged me because it was like this montage of couples doing shit me and Lynette would never do, like jumping off piers into our own lakes. Like, if I said that to Lynette, she'd be like, fuck you. It's fucking cold. It's probably like catfish in there. If I don't want to get fucking eaten by an eel,
that's right.
You go do it.
Right.
Like, she would never do it, number one. Number two, the way they did the commercial is they were like at a dinner party and it was really cool. And then the next scene, they were like sitting on the edge of a bed, like commiserating.
Right.
Like he couldn't get a boner.
Exactly.
But it was just bad timing.
And then she just kept saying, it's okay.
It's okay.
And I think that those commercials informed the Lifetime Network program content.
Someone's building a hardwood deck?
Yeah.
Hardwood deck. Jeez. Hardwood deck, Justin, 39, Ojai.
Hey, Stromer, get it on.
Yeah, get it on. Hardwood deck.
Thanks for taking my call.
What's happening?
Just to go back to your conversation about the hinge hole centering tool.
Yeah.
I've got something better than the punch that makes a point and then you pilot drill from there. There's a tool that fits. There's a guide that fits into that hole and a spring-loaded drill bit.
Yeah.
That you push with the drill and it drills out, and it's called a VIX bit, V-I-X.
I've used those as well. Gary pulled up like a centering drill bit. You don't bother again, Gary. But yeah, I've had those. I've done it all back when I used to care.
Back in you and used to fenestrate.
Hey, are you by the...
Wait, is that being thrown out of a window?
Yeah.
Am I by where? I'm sorry.
Hey, are you up by those hot springs in Ojai? Where are you?
Yes, I am in Ojai. Hot springs are in a canyon that's kind of above Ojai.
My friend lives in that canyon. Yeah, that's a great place.
We're shooting a Zales spot there.
Yeah, me and Adam are going to jump off a dock.
We're going to get in our one piece and holding hands by the hot springs.
And then we'll both feed each other boner medication.
It's not boner medication. It's Zales. Sorry, gotcha. Justin. What are you doing? You doing a hardwood deck?
Yes, it's a wood that's the brand. They call it Kayubatu, but it's basically Mangaris or red Bilao. It's super dense. It's almost as dense as Ipe.
Oh yeah,
it looks really similar.
Is it teak? Yeah. Is it teak-esque?
Yeah, it's kind of in the teak mahogany realm.
Okay.
And you have to blow through a ton of blades, right? Because it's super hard, and drill bits the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Hey, here's a handy tip I learned a few weeks ago on the job site. Make sure the saw blade is facing the right direction. Otherwise, it'll really exacerbate.
It's like
things.
A drag race.
Yeah.
It takes a little longer. You got to burn through it.
Are you cutting it on a chop saw or a sliding combination saw, or what do you?
It'll mostly be a chop saw.
Yeah. All right. Well, definitely get a good blade. And what else?
Are you going to use the clips or are you going to actually drill through the boards into the substrate?
Yes. The decks I've done in the past with Ipe, I've used the hidden clips and just used a slot cutting bit with a router.
Right.
And that worked great. But the company that's providing the hardwood, they actually warranty the wood. If you install it a certain way, you've got to oil all four sides of the board, you got to wax the end grain, and then you have to face screw it.
Oh, wow. What screws are they using?
Because they don't want it to cup. Hold on a second. Tungsten oil?
Exactly. They don't want it to cup. It's a Penofin, like an old UV protecting oil.
And the end grain, they want you to wax it at the ends.
Yes.
They don't want the oil at the ends.
Yeah, there's a product that's called Anchor Seal, but then they just rebranded it and called it Ipe Wax or something like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. I've used the Ipe. That's hard.
I'll put a dab of that on my centering punch when I'm measuring my
cock. Yeah, you will.
What I mean? I mean, just to make things a little easier.
Things got
to
get in. They got to get in.
There you go.
That's right.
Yeah. So now you're going through the top with a stainless steel screw?
Yeah, it'll be stainless steel screws. It'll be trim head.
Very nice.
So we'll do a pilot boring bit, and then just with the trim head down and through the face. But my question is,
what is the trim head? Does the trim head the one with the washer built in?
No, it's just a very small head. It's only like 3/16 across.
Oh, that head. Trim and trim. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't split because it's so small, right?
Well, you're going to drill a pilot hole.
Right.
But I mean, the top, sometimes when you screw down, you'll get the splitting on the top.
Right. Yeah, those are good. I've used those quite often. I didn't know they were called trim heads, by the way. But anyway. And so, what, square drive? Star drive? So. Whatever.
It's either the star, the Torx, or the square drive.
Okay.
Anything but a Phillips head.
So now.
Right.
What? Now, man, if I were you and Justin, you're very good. I mean, you're woke when it comes to wood.
Don't use that
wood
word.
Woke. I would not, man, I would make sure that every single one of those heads did not go deeper than the wood. I would hate for any water to gather where those heads were.
Yeah.
You know, I honestly think if I could, I'd leave them all just a shade proud. Like if you dragged your fingernail over the wood, you'd clip the head. I'm talking about the thickness of a playing card. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, like you couldn't even feel, you could barely feel it if you're barefoot, you know, but I wouldn't get down below. I'd really try to make it my business to keep that thing a millimeter above the wood surface, those fasteners.
Mm. Now, do they make plugs in that kind of wood? You could also go that route and go a little below the surface. You don't like the plugs? I don't mind them.
No, that's trouble zone.
They do. And that, honestly, that would look amazing, but this is like 1,800 square feet, so there would be probably 5,000 plugs that would need to be cut flush and sanded.
I got a plug cutter, too.
Yeah, that's right. Are you gonna install this for you or for a client?
It's for a client.
Yeah. Just make sure that you line those screws up with laser lines and, you know, whatever you can do to make it perfect.
That's my question. Yeah. Here's the kind of the brunt of the question is, I'm going to have to screw these in as I go. So it's not like I can lay all the boards out on the deck and snap a line or run
jig.
A laser.
You need a jig. And so I've jig. The jig is
a
up.
Jig.
Make a jig. I'm trying to picture it like as you go, like how you can do one side, not the other. But you could definitely do a sliding, you know, take a few minutes, take a few pieces of wood. Like I've done this stuff. You do it all the time. Like back in the day when we would do cabinets and we do like multi holes for adjustable shelves and stuff like that, you'd make a jig.
Right.
You know, slide it along the face of the cabinet, drill your three holes, put it on the other side, slide it along. It's not rocket science, but you make a pretty good jig. Like I'll tell you, if you wanted to make something that would slide, drop between them, if you need to drop between them, I would take one of those just flat L brackets, not the thick ones, the thin ones that are like 2 inches wide, sort of Simpson-y like that.
And that's your spacing
I would take, it could be.
Yeah, that'd be smart.
You take that,
drill
a hole in it where you want your hole.
Right.
I would even like pop or glue or whatever, a little handle or something, a little finger grab on the top of it, slide it along, hole.
Right.
Put your pilot hole right through the hole in the thing. You know what I mean?
And I'd also put perpendicular lines on every space you're going to put it onto your joist. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So that you
always hit that.
That
line.
You could do. But I would take this little Simpson clip, little right angle clip.
Yeah.
I use them all the time. They're like an inch and a half by an inch and a half by like 2 inches wide or something. You could put your hole wherever you wanted it, 3/4 in.
Right.
I would pop something up or have something that I could get my fingers on it a little bit, slide it along, push it against the edge, drop it in. If you wanted to go, you're good enough. You don't need to go right or left. You don't need a little tube or anything to drop it in. Just put a little hole and slide it, slide it along. But this is jig material.
And also, you know, have you seen the device that, you know, because that stuff doesn't bend. With traditional wood, you can bend them if they're bowed into position. But if there's any warp or curve in any way, you've got to buy that tool that cranks it into the position you need.
Yeah.
You have that, right?
Yeah,
okay, you grab it on the joist and bend it. Yeah. So
I the jig.
You might have
to
take
the joist just perfectly straight and square too.
Yep.
You might want to take this thing and, you know, modify it by clipping one side off at 3/4 so you could slide it along and not hit a joist or something like that. The other one you could leave at an inch and a half. You could put your hole, you could put a little tab on it so you could grab it with your fingers. You know, put a little of that,
What do you think about it like a drywall square? Punching the holes through that.
Drywall square is,
or just a little mini frame, a speed square.
You're talking about a two, like a hip valve square. You know what a hip valve square is?
No, he's talking about a speed square, isn't he?
No, he's talking about
a
hip valve.
The drywall square is like the 48 inch by 24 at the top T square that slides along the top of the T.
Gary, pull me up a hip valve square. I might be more hip valve, because the thing about the hip valve square is it's got a spacer on one edge that's like an eighth that would be good for your space. The lip only comes down about a half inch or a quarter inch. You could drill a hole or mark it there and just slide that hip valve square along the wood all the way. You picturing a hip valve square? Cheap plastic one and throw it
away. The 12-inch one, because it has the little marks that run along that long edge, you could actually line up with the screws on the previous boards.
Oh, yeah. All right. Go hip valve. Get a 12-inch hip valve, plastic one, lay it out, drill the holes in it where you want it, and slide it along and make it from, you could do, is it 6-inch wide material?
Yes.
You could do your first screw, your second screw, and your first screw, and maybe even your second screw on two pieces of wood. Carry it all the way across.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Pretty inside baseball.
But I sure like the laser level, man. You know what I'm saying? God, I like that.
Wait, for cock measuring?
Yeah. Because from that thing, you have to anchor it in the center of your anus with an
the hip valve square is that. You know it's why it's called a hip valve square?
For the hips, the valley of the roof, all that stuff? Is that
right?
Yeah,
it's a roofer square. Right. It's that fixed square.
Right.
It's a isosceles triangle.
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
Is that all the same angles?
No, it's one side.
One's
triangle.
Bigger than the other, yeah.
Okay. Is that what that is?
I don't know.
So that's the college boys.
That's a college thing.
I thought isosceles were two of them are equal.
Oh, they're the same, like a pyramid?
See. Here they come.
Oh, correct. This is a what triangle?
This is all equal distance.
You fuckers went to school for this?
Assholes.
I went to not for fucking shapes, no.
Not for shapes,
dude.
It's
a scalene triangle.
A what?
You don't know.
Scalene, which means that none of the sides are the same length.
No, we want them all the same.
I think two would be the same length. The third one might not be.
What's
right?
Isosceles?
Well, isosceles is what you're saying, where two are the same and one's different.
Well, what's where all three are the same?
Wait a minute. Why are you celebrating?
Equilateral. That's the
one. I was right on isosceles. Two equals?
You didn't say that.
I was picturing two equals like six to the left, six up, and then
yeah, it doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter what direction you're looking at it from. If two sides are the same, isosceles. If three sides of the train
equilateral.
Equilateral.
That's the one.
Oh, so a pyramid is equilateral.
A pyramid is equilateral.
Oh, isosceles. All right. Well, then I was right, too, because that's what I said the hip valve was, right?
Well, you're always right. So.
Yeah, exactly, sir. That's right. Yes, sir.
Quite a celebration you're having in there. So a hip valve square is a isosceles triangle. Yes. Okay. So it's a square.
We refer to that as a speed square in the real world.
It looks like hip valve is a brand, and speed is what people refer it to.
That's
it's kind
right.
of Kleenex and tissue. Yeah. You know?
Right, right. And then there is the other one, which is the adjustable slider one. And I don't know what that square is
called.
Well,
that looks like a miniature version of a drywall square, right? Which, by the way, is my favorite thing in the world.
It's just called a carpenter square. Either way.
Yeah.
All right, we'll figure it out. Anyway, you take
that
thing, slide it along.
None of those for our listeners should be put in anyone's anus, what we're trying to refer to.
What is, Gary, look up adjustable square. I'm screwing it up here. It's the one that slides along. It's the one that has the little level in the handle.
That's right, with the twisting nut that keeps
it
in the right
like
position.
That? No, goofball. No, you're just no. That's a hip valve square.
There it is, right there on the top right.
The adjustable one.
Yeah, yeah. What is
it? Yeah, what is that called?
Metal combination.
Oh, that's combo a combination. Square, yes. That's a combo square.
See?
So we got a combo square.
Yeah.
We got a roofing square, right?
Yeah. Speed square.
Well, speed square. A speed square and a hip valve square is the same square.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think it's a brand.
Right.
Okay.
And what was that last square we just saw?
Combination.
Combo square.
Yeah, yeah. Man, the game has passed me by, people. Craftsman. Craftsman makes a good combo square.
Yeah, they do.
Great hand tools. I've always used their
great
hand
vacuums.
Tools. Oh, yeah, great vacuums.
I just used one this weekend to suck the duty water out of the restroom because my son's friend uses too much toilet paper. That's a whole other story.
That is scintillating.
Thank you.
Save that for the next time we're on Oprah. One battery works multiple products because now they
I
have
was
power
on Oprah,
tools.
By the way, just so you know.
I know.
Thank you.
It's going to be the next Ty Pennington. One battery works all their products now. They have 2, 4, 6, and 8 tool combo kits available with 2-amp high capacity lithium batteries that work with all the tools in their V20 lineup. Runtime you need, the power you deserve. 20 V20 brushless tools available. They have the Max brushless drill. They have the V-Max impact driver. And they have the V20 Max hammer drill. Proudly made in the USA, my friends, with materials in Charlotte, North Carolina. For the latest Craftsman product and updates, visit Lowe's.com/Adam. Lowe's, the new home of Craftsman. Yeah,
yes.
Great power tools
yes,
now.
Yes, sir.
All right, got a question up there about home ventilation. Let's talk to Art. Art, is that Art or no, Ant?
Ant, that's Ant.
Sorry, Ant, 40, North Carolina.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
We have vents in our homes, whether it's the vent over the stove or the vent in your bathroom. And I just don't think either of them are very useful because if you start to cook something and it gets a little smoky in the kitchen, you turn the vent on, and a lot of times it seems like it's just recirculating the smoke around the kitchen. And then if you have somebody drop a deuce in your bathroom and they turn the fan on, it seems like that doesn't matter unless you go in there and flush it a couple more times or light some candles or spray.
By the way, Ant, the worst is when someone drops a deuce in your kitchen. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, it recirculates. That hot skillet. Weaponizing.
No fan is going to fix that.
Well, if it's underpowered or it's not venting out of the house and it's just going in the attic space, then you're right, it does suck.
Well, let's try to figure out a few things. In the kitchen, you're going to have filters. And those filters get pretty greasy and pretty clogged pretty quick. You'd be damn surprised how much oil, you know, when you're making bacon and 3 feet above it is the filter.
Yep.
How fast those things get filled
up. A couple weeks.
So, okay. If you got a filter situation there, it's going to be metal, and you should take that and soak it in a tub of hot water and put some Simple Green or some whatever grease cutter, whatever Ajax or something in there, a TSP or something. Like, I mean, make sure that screen is good and clean. Number one, as long as we're in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Number two, I would trace the entire thing. I was just talking to the Porcelain Punisher about fart fans yesterday and about CFM and about some that are a little bit lower, like the standard ones are about 110 CFM and they go up to like 190. But that's for like a 12 by 12 unit. You got a 10 by 10 unit, goes up to like 150 CSM. But so CFM. So what you want to do is you want to make sure the filter is good.
That's number one.
Clean.
Yep.
Next thing you want to do is go up past the filter and see how the blade looks and how all that looks.
That's right.
Next thing you want to do is go up top in the attic and follow that. Is it venting out and up and through something, or is it clogged, or is it just going up into the attic?
And a lot of time, to your point, it goes into the attic because builders get lazy and they don't punch through the roof because it's one of the last things to get installed, and they skimp there, and I've seen it a million times.
Right. So follow that. The next one is find out what size the unit is and then see if you can find out who made it and see if you can figure out what the CFM is and then see about stepping up to a higher volume CFM unit that would fit in the same space.
And there's also a minimum and maximum distance from the stovetop where they're effective, so you may be out of range. And some, a lot of times I see builders put them way too high, and it just doesn't work, to your point. And it just gets the kitchen
unfortunately crazy. The correct height is the height. It's basically the bridge of my nose if I try to make scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
Like it's like it has to fucking hit you in the forehead.
That's right.
And it can't be off center either because it won't work. So it's like the catch 22 is anybody over 6 foot, it just has to put their head against this thing when they cook. It's literally like it could be in your face.
That's right.
Because the countertop is 36 inches. This thing has some sort of range of like 32 to 38 inches or something above the height of the cooktop, which puts, if you're 6 footer, 6'2", it just puts it right in your face.
It's like the cone of silence. You're cooking in the cone of silence.
Yeah. That's right. I love that. Get smart.
Yeah.
Gary, what is the size, the height of the vent system above the cooktop? I'd say the minimum would be like 30 inches, and the I'd say it's like a 32 to 38 thing. We're in trouble.
I have a restaurant grade fan vent that just kills. I cook all the time. I'm the cook in my house, and it whisks smoke out of there. No time flat.
Yeah,
but you do have to be very specific on the height of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll give the same caveat from a few weeks. From a few weeks ago when we had a little bit of a kerfuffle here, but Google brings up the answer kind of in a top box. In general, most installations require a distance of 20 to 24 inches between the bottom of the hood and the cooking surface. Over a gas range, the distance should be between 24 and 30 unless otherwise specified.
So it's a little lower than I thought, 24 and 30.
Well, it's right at your man boobs is where it is. It's terrible.
24 is a little low, I feel like. So you could.
I typically just end up opening the front door and opening the back door and just creating like a little faux vacuum, if you will, just to get smoke out.
Well,
that's the only way.
Yeah, so you can see how high the vent is above your gas. I'm guessing you have a gas stove, a burner.
No, it's electric. It's electric. Range.
Oh, it's electric. So is electric a little lower, Gary? You were saying. So evidently it's a little lower with electric.
24, right?
Yeah, 20 to 24.
Yeah.
So it is a little lower versus 24 to 30 or something like that.
Correct.
Well, it's definitely mounted way too high then.
Yeah.
So why don't you throw a tape on it and see where it's mounted? Because if it's supposed to be 20 to 24, which I'll grant it is a little bit low, and that thing's up at 36 or 42 inches, there may be an issue right off the top.
Make sure you let Ant know where he's measuring from, though.
The top.
It's from the center of the anus.
The large majority of the sites are topping it out at 36. Everyone seems to agree it shouldn't be more than 36.
Yeah, that's about
on electric burner? Or that's on a gas.
I think on gas. I
bet the electric's even lower.
I believe that's on gas.
Okay. So,
I mean, you know, when you're in a restaurant, kid, did you ever work in a restaurant, by the way?
I used to clean carpets at restaurants, so I got to sort of be around the back.
I mean,
and
you
shit.
Hear the incredible power that sucks that smoke out of the kitchens.
And what brand is your hood?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I'm assuming GE or something.
All right, do all the stuff we said to do, and then call us
and
back.
Go online and look up the model number. It'll tell you exactly what you need to do, height wise.
I bet a good cleaning is going to go a long way toward this,
because it sounds like he cooks quite a bit.
I also feel like if you got up in the attic and found out where this thing was going, that would be quite helpful as well.
Yeah.
All right, you got an email question, Matt?
Yes, we do. And as always, please email us your questions, aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com, and go to aceontheroof.com if you want to see the pictures we're putting up. So this week's email is from Brian in Charleston. Hey guys, get it on. I am very slowly building out a bathroom in my basement. I cut the wall tiles to 4-inch by 12-inch rectangles and the floor tiles to 2-inch hexagons.
Jeez.
Showers.
You cut them?
That's travertine.
Jesus, that is a travertine. I agree with Stromer.
Yeah. Shower size is 48 inches wide, about 36.
He fucking made his own hexagonal.
Yeah, he did.
Tiles?
He doesn't mess around.
Jesus, shit. What'd he do? Just get a boulder of travertine and start milling it in the backyard with a wet saw?
It's a Sisyphus boulder that he cut up.
Dragged it up his driveway.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, go ahead.
He says here the tile material is travertine. It was left over from a tile job elsewhere in the home, 12-inch and 16-inch square tile. I need the gay eye on this one.
Hold on. Was left over from another job.
That's how he 12 did. He probably
16,
stole it off a truck somewhere. I bet.
Yeah. Okay. Gay eye. Here
we
go.
In planning the floor, I'm considering a pattern with a border and the tiles at a 45 degree angle.
Ooh.
The tiles are drawn as 12 inch tile with a 6-inch wide border tile. The drawing shows the layout as it would be in the space that I have to cover. Is this tile pattern too busy? It is a third layout and the space is small. What do you think? Classy or trashy?
I like it because it's monochromatic, right? Yeah. So it's all, the travertine's all a sort of beigey, taupey, you know, brownie, whatever, different shades, but it's all in the same family.
It's got the Tuscan feel.
Oh,
also.
Man.
So that all those patterns all completely work, and I think the gay eye would say it's perfect.
I love the cut of this guy's jib.
I do, too.
I like him as a potential partner.
I wouldn't mind seeing him have a measuring sesh.
I'd like to do that as well. I like where his head's at, pardon the pun. And I bless this pattern. He's showing us the pattern of the full one by ones in the field and then the thing. And
it works.
He's going to do it.
There's going to be candles in there,
too. Send us a picture.
When there's a cocktail party, he'll have almonds in a bowl and he'll have some candles and it'll look fantastic.
You know the worst part about buying a new house?
Huh.
And all those realty shows, I like to watch those realty shows, like Mega Mansions in Miami and stuff like that. The realtors are the greatest. They're kind of like they're like used car salesmen who went to like finishing school for like 3 months in Europe.
Just the right amount of push.
Just got a little bit of that in them, but they wear the right blazer.
Oh,
you know?
Sure. Ascot sometimes if you need it.
Every time they're selling someone a house, they tell you potentially what you could be doing in any particular area, but it'll never happen.
Yeah.
Like they go, imagine every morning opening up this slider and having your coffee just overlooking the pool and whatever. It's like, Lynette's in Sonny's room screaming at him. And then she's screaming in Italian, you're running late. And then I'm yelling, shut up, I'm taking a shit. Yep. I can't hear you.
Right.
Nobody's ever going to be sitting out on this balcony holding a coffee cup with both hands.
In a robe.
Two hands.
In a robe.
With a robe. Yeah, like a king of all I survey. They do a lot of like, imagine with a glass. If it's during the day, if it's morning times, imagine having your coffee out here overlooking the whatever, reading the newspaper. Like all things that have never happened and shall never happen. And then they go, and then there's a nighttime version. Imagine a glass of wine overlooking
and
the valley. No, that's not happening either. I'm watching Sports Center. I'm getting drunk with the door shut. There is no version of here's what you'll be doing and you'll be standing here.
My life is imagine going to the ER with your daughter who just broke her finger. That's what it is.
Imagine your son's plus size friend is taking a humongo dump in the entry hall toilet and you got to get a shop vac out and suck the Duke out while you're drinking coffee. With your coffee.
No, while you were trying to masturbate to a plus size model
picture.
That's
right. They never do that. It's a steam shower. Imagine you're in here with your hog in your hand, spanking it. Like they never. It's always like, imagine you have a cup of coffee. You're sitting in here. You're overlooking like in the morning.
Yeah. Those people?
I don't know who those people are. I've never gone out in a balcony, gotten a newspaper and a cup of coffee and just went like, let's start my day with this newspaper.
Very funny.
All right. Take care of business.
Can you imagine the idea that everybody's got a to-do list? Of course you can.
Imagine
why?
With a cup of coffee.
Drop off dry cleaning. Pick up some milk. What about save hundreds of dollars on car insurance, and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything? Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes or more, you could be saving 15% on car insurance. That isn't crazy. By the way, I've been involved in so many accidents. The insurance is so fantastic. I've got the rent. You see my Caddy rent-a-car out there?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, it's fast and beautiful.
Oh, I didn't know it was you. I'm go look.
Extra money in your pocket. That's right. The most rewarding to do you can do to Geico.com. Right?
Geico.
Yeah.
All right. Last question here. Ezra, 32, New Jersey. Ezra?
Hey.
Hey, man. You got an R13 versus R11 insulation?
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm redoing my garage, my first really big project that I'm doing, and the walls were already insulated, and I opened it up to frame out some windows and whatnot, and I see the insulation that's there is R11. Do you think it's important for me to switch everything out to R13, or do I just leave whatever's there?
It's a 2x4 wall.
Correct.
Why would you, Gary, more fingers doing the walk-in, but why would you do R11 insulation in a 2x4 wall when you could do R13 insulation? I bought R13 yesterday, and I was putting it in a 2x4 wall. I'm guessing, I'm not sure why they make R11. If
R11 goes under floors usually, and you know it's used almost as soundproofing more than insulation.
It's the same fibery. Yeah. Fiberglass stuff, right? It's just R11.
Yeah.
It's marginally
marginally
thinner than R13.
No, it's probably either.
Do they make R11 for doing like 2x4s flat, like runners or 2x2s?
Yes, that's what it's for.
2x2s?
Lower space areas, obviously.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
No, it's not worth in your garage. It's not worth going back and restuffing this and redoing it. Do the windows, do the expanding foam around the windows, you know, insulate the window, flash the windows, use your bitch-a-thane.
Bitch-a-thane. Hey, is your garage door operable?
Yes, it is.
So none of the insulation matters because that's a huge hole. Just look at that as hole.
I do plan on closing it up eventually. Right now, but it's going to be a room. I'm going to seal it off eventually.
Well, make sure that floor is covered.
I do want it to be fully insulated. Yeah.
Well, you'll get to use R13, your beloved R13, when you stick frame that garage opening.
Yeah.
Make sure you use pressure-treated lumber at the bottom.
And get off that cement floor, otherwise it'll feel cold.
Oh, yeah, but use the pressure treated on the cement floor there when you're framing the thing up, and then put your R13 in there and use your expanding foam
and use which product?
Expanding foam. Bitch-a-thane. Bitch-a-thane wrap, you know, for when you're
going to some cement, right?
Well, you can use it on the cement. I don't know if you need to. I was saying like when you're flashing the window, already done the window, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Ezra.
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
Looking good, brother.
You're good, buddy.
Love the show.
Yeah, love you. Gary, R13 and R11 insulations for 2x material or for putting underneath floor joists or attic?
I used a ton of it for the floor. To build the floor up, the plans called for that as a sound barrier. That's it.
In what application?
Recording studio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was it rigid?
No, it was just R11 that you can lay flat between bays when you're framing a floor. That's why I used it.
Huh. Gary, application for R11 insulation?
I was more researching the difference between R13 and R11. But if you give me a moment, I can look up applications.
What's the difference? A half an inch or three quarters of an inch?
It appears to be about a half an inch. And a lot of these people are getting nerdy on what the heat savings are going to be, like how much it breaks down to based on the size.
You look up the application, R11 insulation. I'll tell you guys, you want some hot insulation talk. Come on out to Connecticut and Foxwoods Resort and Casino. I'll be there February 8th, and then I'll be off on Saturday, February 9th at Boston at the Wilbur Theater, which is a big, beautiful theater in Boston. And after each show, I'll come out and say hi.
You're going to see Tom Brady out there?
We'll do stand-up for the first 20 minutes, a half hour, and then we'll do Adam Carolla's Unprepared, and we'll improv it. So, check that out. You can also get tickets to our 10th anniversary celebration, Sunday, March 10th, Peterson Automotive Museum. Beautiful. Just go to adamcarolla.com for all the stuff you want with the booze.
Isn't that where Biggie went down?
He went down, yeah, out front.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And who do we know who did that?
It kind of seems like LAPD was involved. If anyone comes out and wants to hang out for where Biggie is shot, the notion of getting out of that area without being seen by any helicopters or cops or anything.
Very suspect.
Very suspect. Yep. All right, Gary, any final words?
It looks like people are suggesting it for garage applications, things that aren't main living spaces. Like you can use it in the walls there.
Because you don't need as much, but correct. Why wouldn't you use R13 you gotta overbuild. For fucking extra 50 cents?
Overbuild.
A lot of people are saying that too. It's just kind of the cheap, the lazy way out.
Yeah, I don't like
All right. So until next time, Sam Carolla. Oh, I should tell, check out Laura Ingraham and her podcast at Podcast One as well, the Laura Ingraham Show podcast. Until next time, Adam Carolla, Eric Stromer saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Carolla Digital.